From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here's the news for the headlines. Ministry of Foreign Affairs summoned UN envoys to explain the new criminal code. New criminal code gives protections to foreign tourists. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia on Monday summoned the UN representative in Indonesia to explain criminal code, which had just been ratified by the Indonesian House of Representatives. Spokesperson of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Teguh Faizasyah, said that the summons was made at the same time to answer the UN concerns about Indonesia at the post of the ratification of the criminal code, which was deemed incompatible with basic freedoms and human rights. This concern was conveyed by the UN of the official UN website for Indonesia on Thursday. The Indonesian government, according to Teguh Faizasyah, regretted the UN's stance in submitting complaints to the Indonesian government through the media before receiving direct confirmation from the government. Why did we summon them? Because this is also one of the relationship in diplomacy. It's good because the prevailing etiquette shows that in the interaction of foreign or UN representative in one country, there are always lines of communication to discuss various issues. So we don't use the mass media as a tool to convey something that has not been verified. Precisely, the reason we invited the Deputy Minister of Law and Human Rights to this meeting was to provide an explanation of various unanswered questions that have arisen in the media. Thus, it is very good for foreign representatives, including the United Nations, not to rush into issuing opinions or statements before obtaining clearer information. Previously, in an official press release published on the UN Indonesia website, it was stated that the UN welcomed the modernization and updating of Indonesia's legal framework, but noted with concerns the adoption of certain provisions in the revised criminal code. According to the official broadcast, a number of provisions in Indonesia's new criminal code are inconsistent with freedoms and human rights, including the right to equality. In addition, the United Nations is also worried that several articles in the revised criminal code will conflict with Indonesia's international legal obligations in relation to human rights, including criminalizing journalistic works and violating press freedom. To avoid conflict between Indonesia's legal products and human rights, the United Nations offers a solution, namely, Indonesia needs to be more open for a dialogue with civil society when formulating laws, and the United Nations states its readiness to share technical expertise and assist Indonesia to strengthen the legislative and institutional framework. Meanwhile, Indonesian Deputy Minister of Law and Human Rights Edward Omar Sharif Hiraij said foreign tourists don't need to worry about coming to Indonesia after the new criminal code was passed by the Indonesian House of Representatives. In a press conference at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Monday in Jakarta, he explained that foreign tourists will not be charged with cohabitations articles because cohabitations articles are absolute complaint offenses.
Wisatawan tidak akan bisa dijerat dengan pasal ini.
Tourists will not be charged with this clause. Why? When a foreign couple come to Indonesia on a vacation, they were not bound by a legal marriage. There were only two possibilities that had to be complained about: their children or their parents, who incidentally were not in Indonesia, but they were abroad. So that's an exaggerated concern who actually doesn't understand the content in the article on cohabitation. Furthermore, Deputy Minister of Law and Human Rights Edward Omar Sharif Hiraij also said that the explanation of the new criminal code also states that regional government may not issue new regulations that are ordinary offenses. The Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, said that foreign tourists should not hesitate to visit Indonesia because the government will guarantee the private realm of the tourist. This was conveyed by Sandiaga Uno due to concerns over the draft criminal code, which was ratified some time ago. In the weekly briefing with Sandi Uno on Monday, Sandiaga Uno emphasized that there was no cancellation of tourist visits to Indonesia after the ratification of the criminal code.
Per hari ini, tidak ada pembatalan dari.
As of today, there are no cancellation from our partners, so we expressly say that the latest development have not yet been made. What has been hoax is a cancellation. Precisely from the current daily average, Denpasar Airport serves around 340 takeoffs and landing, 22 to 23,000 international passengers. This trend continues to increase, and there are 24 routes and 14 countries and 27 international airlines, and the total passengers at Bali Airport have reached 10.8 million. Furthermore, Minister Sandiaga Uno said the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy had deployed a direct team in Australia and five other important destinations, namely India, Singapore, Malaysia, the United States, and the United Kingdom, to carry out communication and outreach to tourists and tourism industry players so that tourists don't hesitate to come for tours and also invest in Indonesia. According to the President's directive, the ministry must continue to increase tourist visits, including foreign tourists, in 2023. Younger generation will face difficulties and tough challenges in the future, so they must have good academic provisions and ability. This was stated by senior journalist Arif Suditomo in the Inspiration class, Inspiration to Achieve Achievements at SMA 46 High School, South Jakarta, on Tuesday. Before the students who were enthusiastic attending the event, Arif Suditomo, who is also an alumnus of SMAN 46 Jakarta class of 1987, said that students must be able to determine what they want and focus on what they are doing to get optimal result.
Kalian harus bisa mengidentifikasi passion.
You have to be able to identify your passion. Who doesn't know your passion yet? Search quickly and focus there. If you don't know your passion or choose the wrong major, and in the end, 5 years going to college will be useless because your future is much tougher than what I face. Don't waste time now. In this era of digital disruptions, there will be thousands of jobs that will be replaced by machines, by artificial intelligence, by robots. So, see what could basically be part of the future that you guys can pursue now. Arif Suditomo, former member of the Republic of Indonesia's House of Representatives for the 2014-2019 period, also encouraged students to be enthusiastic about learning and developing abilities from an early age to face challenges in the future. Let's move on to the international news, where the South Korea and the U.S. have decided to continue constructive discussions to address Seoul concerns and opinions over the exclusion of South Korean-made electric vehicles from tax incentive under the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act. The two sides confirmed the decision in a joint statement adopted during the 7th South Korea-U.S. Senior Economic Dialogue chaired by Second Vice Foreign Minister Lee Doo-hun and U.S. Undersecretary of State for Economic Growth, Jose Fernandez, in Washington on Monday. Russia will be invited to attend meetings of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC bloc hosted by the United States next year, as U.S. officials said on Monday. At an APEC meeting hosted by Thailand in May, representatives from the United States and some other countries walked out of a meeting in protest of Russia's action in Ukraine when Russia's economy minister Maxim Resnikov was delivering remarks. Russian President Vladimir Putin did not attend the summit of the group of 20 major economies in Bali last month, despite an invitation from host Indonesia, which had resisted pressures from Western countries to disinvite the leaders and even expel Russia from the bloc. The Russian leaders was represented by First Deputy Prime Minister Andrei Belousov at the leaders' meeting hosted by Thailand last month. The top nuclear envoys of South Korea, the U.S. and Japan held talks in Jakarta on Tuesday and discussed response measures to North Korea's escalating provocations and missiles threats. In his opening remarks of the session held in the U.S. Embassy in Indonesia, Seoul's chief nuclear negotiator Kim Gun said, "The international community will never recognize North Korea as a nuclear power," and called on the regime to face reality. He highlighted more than 30 years of solidarity within the international community as it stood firm with the common goal of the North's denuclearizations, noting this will never change. Listener, now let's move on to the commentary for today on criminal code laws, starting point of criminal administration reform in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
At last, Indonesia has its own criminal code, or KUHP. The Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, RI, passed the criminal code law draft into law on Tuesday. Previously, the criminal code in force in Indonesia was a Dutch product which had taken effect since 1918. Quoting the official website of the National Law Development Agency, Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Laoli said that this ratification is a historic moment in the implementation of criminal law in Indonesia. After years of using the Dutch-made criminal code, now Indonesia has its own criminal code. The ratification of the criminal code bill took a long way. As stated by Minister Yasona Laoli, Indonesia has been formulating criminal law reforms since 1963. Before and after the ratification, the pros and cons of the newly passed criminal code emerge. Not only from within the country, but also several foreign parties also issued their opinions. One of them is the UN representative in Indonesia. In a press release published on the official website of the UN representative in Indonesia, the UN expressed its concern over a number of articles that have the potential to violate freedoms and human rights. Something new is not necessarily able to satisfy all parties. Likewise, with the criminal code. Minister Yasona Laoli appealed to those who disagree with or protest against the newly passed criminal code to convey it through the correct mechanism. The public are allowed to submit a lawsuit to the Constitutional Court. Take for example, the foreign parties such as UN representative. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has summoned the UN representative on Monday. Spokesman for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Teguh Faizah Shah, in a press conference Monday said that the etiquette that applies is the interaction of foreign or UN representative in one country through communication channels to discuss various issues, not to use the mass media as a tool to convey something that has not been verified. He added that it is appropriate for foreign representatives, including the United Nations, not to rush into issuing opinions before obtaining clearer information. The law on criminal procedures code will only come into effect in 2025. There is enough time to socialize the criminal code law, which is considered the starting point for criminal administration reforms in Indonesia. Its implementation is, of course, the joint responsibility of the Indonesian nation. This can be understood not only by the Indonesian people but also foreigners. Those fears of unwanted impacts from the implementation of the criminal code law can vanish.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today in history, we'll begin with December 13, 1937, when National News Agency NNA Antara was founded. The National News Agency NNA Antara is a state-owned enterprise or BUMN assigned by the Indonesian government to cover and disseminate fast, accurate, and important information both domestically and internationally. The Antara News Agency was founded on December 13, 1937 by A.M. Sipahutar, Mr. Sumanang, Adam Malik, and Pandu Kartawiguna, when the spirit of national independence was driven by the youth fighters. The first director was Mr. Sumanang and Adam Malik as editor, and then concurrently as deputy director Pandu Kartawiguna as the administrator and assisted by journalist A.M. Sipahutar. In 1962, Antara officially became the National News Agency, which was directly under the President of the Republic of Indonesia. Next is December 13, 1957, the Juanda Declaration. The Juanda Declaration was initiated on December 13, 1957 by the Prime Minister of Indonesia at that time, Juanda Kartawijaya. It was a declaration declaring to the world that the Indonesian seas included the seas around the Indonesian archipelago into one unitary territory of the Republic of Indonesia. It was declared that Indonesia embraces the principles of an archipelagic state. At that time, Indonesia received great opposition from several countries, so their inter-island seas were also the territory of the Republic of Indonesia and not a free zone. Hereafter, the Juanda Declaration officially promulgated into Law No. 4/PRP/1960 concerning Indonesian waters. After going through a long struggle, this declaration in 1982 was finally accepted and stipulated in the 3rd UN Convention on the Law of the Sea in 1982, or UNCLOS 1982. Furthermore, this declaration was reaffirmed by Law No. 17/1985 concerning the ratification of the UNCLOS 1982 that Indonesia is an archipelagic country. In 1999, the 4th President of Indonesia, Abdurrahman Wahid, declared December 13th as Archipelago Day. We end with December 13, 2003, when Saddam Hussein was arrested. Saddam Hussein was the president of Iraq from July 16, 1979 until April 9, 2003. As the leader of Iraq and the head of Ba'ath Party, he took policies of secular pan-Arabism, economic modernization, and Arab socialism. Saddam Hussein was overthrown in the invasion of Iraq in 2003. It was led by the USA, and he was arrested by American forces on December 13, 2003. On November 5, 2006, presiding Judge Rauf Rashid Abdul Rahman sentenced him to death by hanging him for crimes against humanity. On December 20, 2006, Saddam was executed at the age of 69. And listener, that's today in history.
Siapapun dirimu itu mewarnai hidupku terpesona. sinar mentari. Memang sulit untuk dihindari.
You, every single day just make me closer to you. And I'll fight for us to
listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in collaboration with Indonesian Chambers of Commerce Kadin organized the Pacific Business Engagement or PBE as part of a series of Indonesia Pacific Forum for Development IPFD in Bali, Indonesia. It was attended by around 90 participants from the private sector, both offline and online, and aims to promote business interaction between entrepreneurs and business associations in Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, and Timor Leste. As quoted from the kamlu.go.id page in his opening remarks, Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ambassador Abdul Qadir Jailani, said that there are three important approaches to strengthen relations between Indonesia and the Pacific. First, encouraging cooperation between Asia and the Pacific within the framework of the Asian Outlook for Indo-Pacific, such as maritime cooperation, businesses, connectivity, sustainable development goals, and economic cooperation. The second approach is to increase businesses and trade interaction in the context of economic recovery. Third, jointly voicing the interests of the Pacific to the international community. Chairman of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry Kadin, Arshad Rashid, in his remarks said that Timor Leste, Papua New Guinea and Indonesia were in a position to interact with each other. The three countries have the same agenda to advance the economy of the southern global developing countries. According to Arshad Rashid, it is time for Indonesia and the Pacific countries to work together to develop the downstream industry. He underlined the importance of the energy transitions in mitigating the impact of climate change and creating new jobs in Indonesia. According to Arshad Rashid, the Pacific needs to formulate an attractive, mutually agreed-upon scheme to advance the objectives of the Pacific Agenda. He said Kadin is committed to facilitating cooperation between business people and ensuring beneficial cooperation for all parties involved. Meanwhile, Papua New Guinea Foreign Minister Justin Chekchenko welcomed the arrival of investors to his country and appreciated the various lessons that could be learned from Indonesia's economic development experience. Meanwhile, Timor-Leste Foreign Minister Adalisa Magno saw good potential from the presence of Indonesian banking institutions in making it easier for Indonesian entrepreneurs to do business with Timor-Leste.
saja. Sulit ku temui hingga hati lelah dengan semua karena sulit ku temui. Beruntungnya hati ini kau datang mengisi di saat gundah. Tak tentu arah gelisah yang ku rasa. Sulit tuh menjalani hari-hari ku lewati hingga menyadari rasanya sepi. Lalu kau datang menggoda dan menggoda. Seakan tahu kelemahanku dan ku jatuh. Luluh tak berdaya.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
VOI listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to introduce you to Lendot, a delicious dish from Riau Island. Every region in Indonesia has various delicious food, for example, the Riau Islands. When traveling to this area, you can taste its various distinctive food. One of them is Lendot. It is a distinctive Malay food in Tanjung Balai Karimun. This food is made from sago with a mixture of kangkung or water spinach, or spinach which is usually added with shrimps or snails along with a mixture of spices. Lendot has a slimy texture like glue because it uses sago flour. Lendot tastes so delicious. The mixture of mass fish, which is distinctive for Malay food, can blend with the softness of sago and the spiciness of chilies. The spices used can keep the body warm and are considered capable for increasing the endurance of the coastal Malay community who are buffeted by the sea breeze at day and night. Lendot tastes better when it's still hot because the slimy gravy will melt when it cools down. Lendot is a home dish for the Riau Islands community. This food is always present when Ramadan fasting month comes. The soft texture makes this food suitable to be eaten as a menu for iftar or meals to break the fast. Because this is a homemade dish, this food is not widely sold. However, there are several restaurants selling Lendot in Tanjung Balai Karimun. Lendot is sold at a very affordable price, which is only 5,000 rupiah or less than $1 per serving. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Terka luka bahagia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, which introduces Indonesian expressions and vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Berwisata di Manado. Berwisata di Manado, which means touring Manado. Next, you will be listening to a conversation entitled Buka Dari Pagi Sampai Sore. Buka Dari Pagi Sampai Sore, which means open from morning to late afternoon. This conversation takes place between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and Mona, Dev's friend who works as a lecturer at Samratulangi University. They plan to eat at a famous restaurant in Manado. Mona informs Dev the restaurant's operating hours.
Restoran ini buka 24 jam ya?
Tidak, restoran ini buka dari pukul 10 pagi sampai 5 sore.
After listening to the conversation, I will provide vocabulary related to today's material. Buka dari pagi sampai sore. Buka dari pagi sampai sore, which means open from morning to late afternoon. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Restoran ini. Restoran ini. Which means this restaurant. Buka. Buka. Which means open. Dari. Dari. Which means from. Pukul 10 pagi. Pukul 10 pagi. Which means 10 a.m. Sampai. Sampai. Which means up to. Lima sore. Lima sore. Which means 5 p.m. Restoran ini buka dari pukul 10 pagi sampai 5 sore. Restoran ini buka dari pukul 10 pagi sampai 5 sore. Which means this restaurant is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. In the conversation, you heard the phrase restoran ini buka dari pukul pagi sampai 5 sore. Restoran ini buka dari pukul 10 pagi sampai 5 sore, which means this restaurant is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. In that sentence, there is an expression dari pukul 10 pagi sampai 5 sore. Dari pukul 10 pagi sampai 5 sore, which means from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It can be used to mark a span of time. In this phrase, the expressions dari, sampai, dari, sampai, which means from, to, is used to mark the time the restaurant is open, namely from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Other examples, besides using the expressions dari dan sampai, dari dan sampai, which means from and to, you can also use the expressions mulai and hingga. Mulai dan hingga, which means from and to mark the time range. Let's listen to some examples of using the latter expressions of time spans. Mulai hingga. Mulai hingga. Which means start from, to. Restoran ini buka mulai pukul 10 pagi hingga 10 malam. Restoran ini buka mulai pukul pagi. Restoran ini buka mulai pukul 10 pagi hingga 10 malam, which means this restaurant is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Loket penerbangan dari Jakarta ke Manado dibuka mulai pukul 7 hingga 10 pagi. Loket penerbangan dari Jakarta ke Manado dibuka mulai pukul 7 hingga 10 pagi, which means the flight counter from Jakarta to Manado is open from 7 to 10 a.m. In addition to marking the span of time, the expressions dari, sampai, which means from and to, can also be used to mark the span of an area. For example, banyak penjual makanan di sepanjang jalan dari Manado sampai Likupang. Banyak penjual makanan di sepanjang jalan dari Manado sampai Likupang, which means there are many food vendors along the road from Manado to Likupang. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation one more time.
Restoran ini buka 24 jam ya?
Tidak, restoran ini buka dari pukul 10 pagi sampai 5 sore.
Listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Let's speak Indonesian with the topic berwisata di Manado. Berwisata di Manado, which means touring Manado, and a conversation entitled Buka dari pagi sampai sore. Buka dari pagi sampai sore, which means open from morning to late afternoon. Hopefully this edition will be useful for those of you who wants to be more familiar with Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different material. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOA listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents you a Malay song entitled Senandung Malam by Azizah. The song was composed by Nardiansyah. This Malay song tells about a girl waiting for her lover who never comes. She sits dreaming for day to night, waiting anxiously. This song is from Ujung Jabung area, Jambi, Sumatra Island. Alright listener, here is the song Senandung Malam by Azizah. Happy listening!
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id. Thank you.